This morning's gospel reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Well, I was warned that there would just be just a handful of you here this morning, and I call this significantly more than a handful. It's a great-looking bunch of people here today, and it is so good to worship again with you today. You know, two things that I work very hard in my life to overcome, and I imagine that you also work hard to overcome them, and that's fear and worry. Those two things have a way of dragging on us and keeping us from finding personal peace in our own lives and any effectiveness in the world. We get afraid and we worry. Fear was one that was the biggest challenge for me, I would guess. Most of my life I have lived alone and spent a good number of nights and even through the years looking over my toes to see what was going to get me in the night, because I felt like I had to protect myself by just being aware of who might be coming in. Until I moved to Tucson during my seminary internship, and they put me in this little tiny kind of cabin out on the edges of Tucson. Now, that's in a very different place now. It's probably downtown now. But in those days, it was right on the edge. It was out there in the desert with the saguaro cactuses all around me. And it was just me in that little cabin out there. And the landlord told me, "I'm sorry, I can't fix the back door. I have tried so many times to fix that door, and I cannot seem to get it to lock." Now, I'm a lot handier now than I was in those days. I'm sure I could have figured out a way to get it locked, but I wasn't there in those days. And so what I did, this door was in a little hallway in the back. The bathroom was one side and the bedroom was on the other. And so I just didn't use that back door. I took a whole long stack of record albums. Remember those big, heavy, round things? Not the CDs, the big ones. And I had a couple wooden crates full, and I just put them there, and I also then leaned some up so that if anybody tried to come in that door, it would knock those albums over on, and I would hear it at least. And so for the first few nights, there I was, attentive to listening to the albums and wondering what I would do if I ever heard them. And I found out one night, I'm laying there in bed, attentive, and all of a sudden I heard crash, and the albums went over on the ones in the wooden box, and I leaped up out of bed in one whoop and screamed out, "Get out of my house!" And I screamed so loud that I bruised my vocal cords, and I couldn't talk for 2 weeks. But that's was an inspiration to myself. I thought, I'm not going to go quietly to my death. And so I do not need to be afraid. I can go to sleep at night knowing I will take care of myself if nobody else will. Well, that was just one little example of how fear can get in our way, and it can also motivate us. The truth is, we're all worry warts, though. We all worry to one degree or another. Maybe you're like the woman who said that she had so many worries that if something else came along for her to worry about, it would take 2 weeks before she could get to it. Recent research says that we actually only deal with about 5%, 5 out of 100 of the worries that afflict us. Well, that may be true, but most of us still worry about 100 and more. I suspect the only people in the world that aren't worrying are all those people out in the cemetery. But in our scripture reading this morning, Jesus sends his disciples out across the Sea of Galilee. And out on the sea, the disciples encounter a fierce wind. But as hard as they row the boat, they make absolutely no progress at all. And soon it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's become a futile effort. The disciples are exhausted, they're afraid, and I bet they were crying out to each other, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. And maybe that's also the way Peter was thinking about his life as he rowed that boat against the wind. I wonder if he thought, we're not going to make it out of this alive, but even if we do, we're not going to make it as disciples of Jesus. I'm not going to make it. I don't have what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm just a fisherman. The crowds of people, they're too demanding. The Pharisees are threatening us right and left. Besides, I have a fishing business I have to take care of, and my family needs me at home with them. Why is it that Jesus called me? I can't make it. I just can't make it. And in the midst of all of that worry and in the midst of all of that fear, suddenly they see Jesus, and there he is. He's just walking on the water. He's just walking on the water. Now, we've read this story so many times. We're not surprised that Jesus walks on the water. We don't even bat an eye about it. Yeah, he was. He was walking on the water. And when you lose that surprise, you lose what the story is trying to tell you about who Jesus is. I know an old chorus, I learned it at a church retreat a long time ago. It's, here comes Jesus, see him walking on the water. He'll lift you up and he'll help you to stand. Here comes Jesus, he's the master of the waves that roll. Here comes Jesus, he'll make you whole. He's walking on the water. Now, I read a magazine a long time ago. It wasn't the National Enquirer. And it wasn't the Star, because I don't read that trash, except for at the grocery store. Sometimes I do pick it up. But I read somewhere that a bridge is supposedly someday going to be built in the Sea of Galilee at Capernaum. Now, I didn't say across it, I said in it, because the bridge isn't being built over it, but really just on the surface, so that cars and people can appear to walk on the water. And it's not going to have any big rails, but there's going to be lifeboats out there to rescue people who drive off the bridge. Now, I kind of doubt that that's going to happen, but that's what the story said. Talk about missing the point, right? That's just about the biggest missing of the point there ever was. That's looking at this story through money-colored lenses. And we need to look at it with Old Testament, with First Testament eyes, with Jewish lenses. Jesus was walking on the water. What's the gospel story telling us? If you know your Bible, you know the answer to that question. Who is it that moves over the face of the water at creation? If you don't know, you look it up in Genesis 1, 2, it's God. God, the Spirit of God, moves over the face of the waters. Let Job ask the next question. Who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea? If you don't know it, look it up, Job 9:8. It's God. God alone stretches out the heavens and tramples the waves of the sea. The gospel story answers this question, who walks on water? God does. God alone works miracles. God alone has dominion over nature. And so the gospel story here draws from that ancient Hebrew story a powerful truth. And Jesus came walking to them on the water. The miraculous creative power of God that has dominion over all of the elements of life is invested in this man whose name was Jesus. And Jesus came walking to them on the water. Jesus moved over the face of the water. Jesus trampled the waves of the sea and walked right into his disciples' life at their greatest point of need and despair and brought the power of God with him. That's what this story is telling us. The disciples responded, as I would have, and probably you too. They were scared spitless. That was their response. They thought perhaps they were seeing a ghost, and that wasn't a comforting thought to them. And even if they had recognized that it was their friend Jesus out there boldly on the water without water wings, they would still have been scared in the face of the awe, the mystery, the miracle of the presence of the living God, so inhabiting Jesus that he had dominion over the waves of the sea. And Jesus, seeing their fear, says, take heart. Take heart. I am with you. And then all of the comfort songs of the ages ring in those words. Our gospel storyteller knows what he's doing. He links in all of the comfort songs of the ages. I am the God of Abraham. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Be not afraid of them, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to the people. So Jesus said to them, take heart, it is I, fear not. And with these words reminded them of the awesome, ever-present, ever-responding, ever-loving God invested in him and with them. In him and with them. And then surprisingly, Peter speaks up, or maybe not surprisingly, because we do know Peter a little bit. Lord, if it's you, then call me to walk on the water too. That request really is surprising. With all his worries, with all the struggles at hand, Peter sees an opportunity. Call me to walk on the water too. I can guarantee you that would have been the last thing that I would have asked for in that moment. Now, if Jesus' presence on the water is a call for us to see within him the miraculous creative power of God that has dominion over all of the elements of life, then imagine what it is that Peter is asking for in this moment. Call me to walk on the water. Call me away from my fear. Call me away from my feelings of inadequacy. Call me away from the belief that I am giving into that I can't make it. Away from worry and anxiety about tomorrow, away from the pain of the past, away to a place of greater strength and power. Call me to walk on the water too and have invested in me that same miraculous creative power of the presence of God. Call me to walk on the water, to be one with God. And what does Jesus say? Come on. Come on. And Peter got out of the boat. He puts his foot out there over the edge of the boat. And I guess he finds it's firm. And then he takes another step and then another. And suddenly, surprisingly, Peter also is walking on the water. Look at this. Peter's walking on the water. Oh, I know you know, Peter looks around him. He sees the wind. He becomes afraid. He starts sinking down into the water. And at this point, Jesus reaches out to his friend and grabs a hold of him and lifts him up. But do you see it? It's only because he got out of the boat that he was able to do what he did, even if what he did was sink. It was only by getting out of the boat. It's only because Peter asked that Jesus reaches out and lifts him up. It's usually at this point in the story where the preacher starts focusing on Peter's fear and Peter's failure to stay on top of things. Peter is chastised for not having enough faith, for not keeping his eyes on Jesus, which made it necessary for Jesus to rescue him. And at least 100 times I have heard that the moral of this story is that we must keep our eyes on Jesus, and if we do, then we never need to be afraid of the storms of life. We will not succumb to them. If you trust in Jesus, you will never fail. How's that working for you? I know it sounds good, and I know it's what the preachers have been telling all of us for years and years. It sounds really good, and it makes a powerful sermon and a powerful point, but there's something right there that doesn't ring true. We have only to remember that more followers of Jesus, people who have kept their eyes on Jesus, had absolute faith in him, more followers of Jesus have been martyred for their faith, murdered for their faith in the last 100 years than in the previous 20 centuries combined. We need only remember that to conclude that either this story inherently promises something it can't deliver, or else this miracle was included to communicate something else. Now, I think it's a very good advice to keep our eyes on Jesus. I'm not telling you to focus other way. That's good. We should do that. And that we will have a lot more successes at being faithful Christians if we keep our eyes on Jesus. Absolutely. But there is something more than that. Look at Peter. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. He sees an opportunity. And with all of his worries, with all of his fears, he got out of the boat. He says, "Lord, bid me to come to you." And how does Jesus respond? "Oh, Peter, don't be ridiculous. You can't walk on water. Why would you want to do such a crazy thing? Don't you see the storm blowing around you? Don't you know about the law of gravity? Peter, you'll sink if you try to walk on the water." But Jesus doesn't say these things, because that's not the way Jesus is. You know, take that Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well. Jesus knew she had gone through 5 husbands. He also knew that the man she was living with was not her husband. But he didn't criticize her. Instead, he offered her what? An opportunity for a new life. He said, "I'll give you living water if you will ask." The only thing now is, will she get out of the boat? Will she take that chance? Throughout the gospel story, we see Jesus encouraging people to do things that seem impossible. He tells people carrying grudges to love the person who's done them wrong. Do you think that's easier than getting out of a boat in the middle of a storm? Many people respond saying, "Impossible. After what he did, after what she said." And Jesus said, "Yes, come to me. You can do it. I'm here." He told the man who was paralyzed, lying in bed for years, get up and walk. Jesus told Peter, "You want to walk on the water? Okay, come to me." And he got out of the boat. Now, before you start focusing on how Peter eventually sank, marvel and wonder how he got out of the boat because of Jesus. Marvel and wonder how Peter moved over the face of the deep. Marvel and wonder how Peter, of all people, trampled the waves of the sea. Marvel and wonder that in a faltering moment when it looked like the impossible was indeed possible, Jesus reached out and lifted Peter up to keep him walking. Marvel and wonder then at this. Our presence right here in this sanctuary today is a form of asking to walk on the water. You didn't know that, did you? Uh-oh, we're in trouble. Our presence here today is a form of asking to walk on the water. Because we are here, because we are opening up ourselves to the Spirit of the living God in this moment, because we have asked in prayer that God would strengthen us, empower us, and inspire us to be disciples of Christ in this broken, angry world, we are asking to walk on water and do something about it. And in this moment, Jesus says, come. Come on. Get out of your boats. Life struggles and problems and challenges require attention and prayer. And the sooner they're attended to and prayed over, the easier they are to handle and the quicker they'll be resolved. But you've got to get out of the boat. You can't just sit in the boat, wringing your hands, saying, woe is me, woe is me. We've got to get out of the boat. My brother tried to teach me how to play baseball, but I was afraid of the ball. I was afraid it was going to hit me in the face and break my glasses. My brother would holler at me, why are you so afraid? And I would say, because the ball is going to hit me in the face. And he said, it might, but it won't happen every time. Dare to play ball. Dare to try. Dare to get out of the boat. Dare because you know someone is there to help you. Dare to live because God is with you. All of us, we have our problems, we have our worries. Some are big and some are small. All of us are sitting in a boat with some worry, struggling against the wind and the waves. Even people who really seem to have it all together, even they are sitting in a boat with a boatload of worries and problems. I don't know what getting out of the boat means for you. Going back to school, you know, people have done it. I just read about a 106-year-old guy, wasn't in the Star of the Inquirer either, who went back to school and got a degree. Are you changing a job? Are you quitting an addiction? Are you having a talk with that person that you've put off having a talk with too long? What are you being called to do that requires courage and faith and trust and a willingness to be used by God? I saw a YouTube video about a little 9-year-old girl in LA by the name of Chloe Thompson, and she was concerned about the number of homeless women she saw in her neighborhood every day. So she didn't think it was right just to see them and not do anything. She felt that that was wrong, to see them and not do anything. And so Chloe created her own charity, 9-year-old Chloe, called Chloe Cares. And she made these lovely cloth bags. And she fills them with personal care items like toothbrushes and deodorant and soap and that sort of thing. And her grandma taught her how to make the bags herself because Chloe didn't want to use plastic bags. That might have been easy, but she knew that that wouldn't be fun to carry around. A plastic bag where everybody could see your personal items all the time. They needed a nice, soft, pretty bag for it. So then she goes, and with her mom, she walks to distribute the bags, and she does it her own way. She introduces herself. She doesn't say, do you need a toothbrush? She introduces herself, and she has something to give them if they need something. And at the end of the video, Chloe shares these words of advice and inspiration. When asked, you know, what is your advice to people? She says, don't be so afraid. Just do something. And the child shall lead them, right? 9 years old. Don't be so afraid. That's what Jesus is saying to us. He calls and equips us. Calls and equips us to answer his call in the world. We just have to get out of the boat, because God is calling every single one of us to do something new with our lives, something that may seem impossible, but indeed is not, because we have Christ and the awesome, mysterious, miraculous, creative, transforming power of the living God. Jesus is with us. And as we move out of this sanctuary and into the world, his arms are open in sacrifice and embrace, and he says to every one of us, I want you to listen for it as you walk out the door. I want you to listen. Don't be so afraid. Come. Come get out of the boat. And that, my dear friends, is the gospel for today.